You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Packernet Podcast. I am your host and resident panelist, as always, Ryan Schlipp. Check us out online, packernet.com. Find me on Twitter, pack_daddy. Today, I've got the one and only Mr. Malcolm Reed, 1.28 million subscribers on YouTube. Oh, auto-playing TikTok just blasted in my ears. But what do you got? You got 638,000 followers on TikTok. 200,000 on Instagram, and who cares about Twitter? But Malcolm, thank you very much for joining the podcast.
Hey, thanks for inviting me on, man. I'm excited to come on and talk to you today.
So I've been hyping this up for a while, but for the listeners that probably don't know about you, can you give us a little bit of insight into who you are and how you got started in what you're doing?
Sure. Well, you know, I my name's Malcolm Reed, and I do barbecue, man. I got into barbecue from the competition side of things. I grew up in a town called South Haven, Mississippi, which is kind of a suburb of Memphis. And if you know Memphis, you know it's synonymous with barbecue. And pork barbecue is king in Memphis, and they have the world championship there every year, Memphis in May. It's the biggest pork cooking contest on the planet. And, you know, just growing up in South Haven, we had a small town festival that was kind of a preliminary for Memphis in May. The big teams use that contest to tune up for the world championship. And so I grew up going to that contest. And as we got older, you know, we jumped on the barbecue team with some friends. Their dads had a team, and me and my brother was cooking with them. The name was Killer Hogs. And those guys got older and retired, and my brother and I decided we wanted to keep the team going. So, we just stuck with the name Killer Hogs. And you know, as years went on, we just did small, you know, kind of amateur backyard style barbecues. Then I met my wife, and she kind of took it mainstream. She saw potential in what we were doing and decided, you know, that I needed to start a newsletter up, start a website up. We started howtobarbecueright.com. And at first it was just about the competition side of things, but we quickly realized that everybody in their backyard is not really interested in the competition side. They just want to learn how to cook better barbecue. So I went on this journey to learn how to cook better barbecue and to share everything I'm learning along the way. And that's kind of what we do. We do it on all the social channels. You know, YouTube's our biggest, of course, but we do Facebook, we do Instagram, we you know, do Twitter a little bit, but TikTok's the one that's up and coming that we're having a lot of fun with. I can kind of be a little more myself and throw some drinks in there and throw some other cooking besides just barbecue. We're just having a blast with it, man.
TikTok is a lot of fun. If you're on TikTok at all, you got to check out Malcolm Reed at How to Barbecue Right on there, because it's cool because it's short little videos. You know, I like watching YouTube to actually learn, but if you just want to, you know, binge watch some fun food stuff, Malcolm on Twitter is awesome. And I think the throwing hot dogs in your mouth was one of the funniest things I've seen on TikTok. So I was on Facebook and I was watching some of the things that you were doing on there, and you were talking about the Palmer home and how you were raising money, and that we actually had the opportunity to not only give money, but start our own fundraisers. And I figured, since I have a podcast and I know a lot of my listeners are very, very generous, I thought this would be an opportunity for us to do some good. But it was the first that I had heard of the Palmer home. Could you kind of give us a little bit of insight, maybe do a better job explaining who they are and what they do than I've been doing?
Sure. Well, the Palmer home, they're actually in our hometown of Hernando, Mississippi. And what they do, they take in kids that are struggling, whether it be, you know, family troubles or whatever. They're displaced from their moms and dads, and they actually house them. It's not like an orphanage, the traditional thing. They place them in family units where they actually have a mom and dad that live with them. And there's like eight kids to each house. And And they try to give them a normal environment. They get them in schools. They get them in, you know, programs, sports, all this stuff. And then, you know, they're always, you know, needing help because it is they're a nonprofit. So every dollar they raise doesn't come from the government. It just comes from private donors or people helping them out, or you know, the charity events that they do to raise money throughout the year to help these kids. And so we kind of, Shell and I took it upon ourselves as, since it's in our backyard, to help these guys out. And so I kind of got into, you know, donating to some of their events. And then we've, you know, as the years have grown, we've kind of, you know, stepped it up every year. And this year we're trying to raise 20 grand for them because that's how much.
We're having some technical difficulties.
You there, Malcolm? I think I lost you.
Figured out this fundraiser was, you know, trying to,
oh, there we go.
To raise this money for them.
So, yeah, so for those of you that don't know, we just cracked 500. Looks like Malcolm's probably going to get to that 20,000 because he's at 17,600. But if you wanted to donate to that, and I would encourage you to do so, you can go on the Facebook group. It's the pinned post there. You can check me out on Twitter. My pinned post there is going to have a link to the fundraiser, or reach out to me anywhere, and I'll get you hooked up to that. And we'll again, every little bit counts. I've had some people just Venmo me the money, and I'll do it if you don't want to go through the setup of getting a credit card and all that kind of stuff. But if you wanted to give anything, just go ahead, and we'll make sure that we can get that set up, because it is a very, very worthy cause. But there is one big elephant in the room, Malcolm, that I think we got to get out of the way. I was going through your podcast. It sounds to me like it's possible that you might be a Vikings fan. So if that's true, if you could do me a favor and explain how somebody from Mississippi ends up becoming a fan of such a just terrible football team.
Well, come on, don't hate me. No, it goes back. It actually goes back a long time ago. The Vikings came to Memphis. Man, this had to be like 1987, 88. Me and my brother were just kids, and my dad scored some tickets to go see a preseason game. It was the Vikings and the Chiefs. And our tickets happened to be on the Vikings side. This was, you know, the Vikings weren't a good team back then, but we just were drawn to the purple and gold. And that was mine and my brother's first taste of professional football. And ever since we were kids, you know, we started watching the Vikings. We turned, you know, they weren't in our market by any means, but we didn't, you know, so we didn't get to see them all the time. But it seems like they always either played the Lions or the Cowboys on Thanksgiving. They had some good rivalries with the Bears, of course, the Packers. And we just grew up, you know, Herschel Walker came there, and he was going to be the saving hope, the great running back at Minnesota. And it was a good time growing up watching the Vikings. And it was something different. You know, everybody was a Cowboys fan or a Saints fan, or, you know, when the Rams went to St. Louis, that was the teams that my buddies followed, and we were just different because we picked the Minnesota Vikings. And it's a love-hate relationship with them because
I'm sure,
you know, we've never really won anything. We made it to the NFC Championship a couple times, but it's been some heartbreakers being a Vikings fan.
Well, that was actually going to be my next question. The more prominent teams, I have to assume they're mostly Southern teams in the barbecue circuit, Cowboys, Saints, and those kinds of things. You kind of already covered those, but are there any prominent barbecue teams that you can think of that are Packer fans?
You know, I'm pretty sure Travis Clark is a big Packers fan. He's out in Oklahoma.
Okay.
But I think I've seen him posting about being a huge Packers fan. You know, Packers have a good following in Mississippi because of Brett Favre.
That's true.
You know, he's a Southern Miss guy, born in, you know, from Hattiesburg area down south, the south part of the state. But so, you know, we get our dose of the pack here because of the Brett Favre tie. But, you know, I got to watch you play in Minnesota a few years, right, too. I know y'all probably hated that.
Well, I may have to – I hope you don't mind. I'm going to be name-dropping you if I try to get Travis or somebody else on the podcast. So, all right, let's –
Hey, that's cool, man. I'm sure he'll probably come on there.
Let's transition a little bit and let's start talking about food. Because one of the things that I actually like is, as much as, you know, it's in the – in the realm of what I do, football stuff, it gets pretty heated between Packers fans, Vikings fans, Bear fans, et cetera. But one of the things, I took a little break because we just bought a new house and I was just binging your podcast and a bunch of barbecue stuff. And it was how tight-knit the community was and how much everybody, even when you're competing against each other, everybody kind of got along. And I just really like that aspect of barbecue and how it kind of brings people together. And I think that's a really awesome aspect to it. As much as it might seem weird to have a food guy on a podcast, I think they go together really, really well. And it really just kind of mends you know, maybe you can kind of get along with some other people on other teams if you're talking about food and whatnot. But I do really appreciate that aspect of it, and it kind of made me jealous a little bit that you're so close with all your competitors, and it's a blood sport over here. But all right, let's start from the beginning though, because some of the people that are listening maybe haven't quite broken in yet. If somebody hasn't really gotten into grilling out or anything like that, what would you recommend that they go out and get?
Well, man, I get asked this question all the time. And if you're really, you know, wanting to learn how to cook some good food on a grill and have some options, the best place to start is with like a Weber kettle style grill, because you can do so much more than just grill on it. You can set that thing up for two zone cooking. You can cook low and slow on it. You have to learn fire management. You have to learn how to get the coals right, how to set the vents, how to get the airflow, how to control the temps on an inexpensive grill. And it's a challenge. But once you learn how to cook on one of those, you can go to just about any grill. You already got the fundamentals down, and you can go to cooking. You know, it's just scalability, or it's probably going to be easier when you make the transition to another style of grill. You know, and if people tell me they don't want to really – they want to cook some barbecue, or they want to, you know, have some options, but they don't want to mess with the fire, I'd lead them towards a pellet grill there. It's a great entry-level grill too, but it's pretty much set and forget. So those are the two styles that I think someone that's just getting started out, they want to cook outdoors, they want to smoke some meat, they also want to have the options to grill. If you'll get you a kettle or a pellet grill, you're well on your way.
Yeah, and it's funny because I started out with a Weber. I had that for about 2 years and was making food, and I'll be honest, I didn't really learn fire management very well. I was just hot and fast fiend, but I just recently got my pellet grill, and my thought process was a Weber is, you know, it makes food on kind of a lower level. It's not very good. And once you kind of work your way up to a pellet grill, that's when you're making good food. I'll be honest, man, that Weber makes some unbelievable food, and I kind of miss it. I'm thinking this weekend, I'm going to go back to some of the, you know, some pork chops and stuff on the Weber grill, because if your thought process, and maybe you disagree, but if your thought process is that's a starter, but it doesn't make as good a food, I disagree. I think depending on what you're cooking, some of that charcoal food is some of the best food I've ever had. Burgers, pork chops, even pork loin. I think I prefer it on the Weber.
Yeah. There's no substitute for meat juices dripping on coals.
Yeah.
That's why that Weber kettle flavor is what it is. And you just don't get that on a pellet grill.
Yeah.
Now you get ease of use, and you know it's pretty much set and forget. But the flavor is not the same as you get when you're actually burning some charcoal, adding some wood to it for some smoke, and charring that meat right over that fire.
Oh, yeah.
That's, I mean, even a propane grill doesn't get the same flavor as it does cooking on a Weber. And I don't get paid by Weber anyway, man. I'm just telling you, it's probably the number one selling grill in the world, but just because it works.
Yeah. So the point is don't skip that step. If you're looking, don't launch yourself into a pellet grill, get the Weber and start off. It's real cheap and you're going to make some amazing food. But that kind of leads me to my next question, because I haven't talked to my wife about it because she's doesn't want to hear it, but I'm already thinking about what I should be getting next after the pellet grill. And my thought process is a drum smoker, but where would you kind of lead me in that direction and in whatever direction?
Hey, I know we haven't talked about this firsthand. That's the first time you asked me, but I would say the exact same thing.
Yeah.
The reason being, and this is if you're cooking in your backyard. You know, yep. You're not trying to produce a lot of food and feed a ton of people. It's perfect for a family, small gatherings. But that drum smoker goes back to the authentic barbecue flavor.
Yeah.
It's the closest you're going to get to where the way I grew up, where hogs were cooked on these brick pits and they shoveled the coals under them. And the meat juices, once again, they drip down on the coals and they produce that beautiful aroma. It mixes with the smoke, and that's what adheres to the meat. That's what barbecue is. And you get that with the drum. You don't get it on any other pit, because most of them, the fire's off somewhere else. It's offset, or it's in a firebox somewhere, or it's separated by a water pan, or you know, another cook chamber of some type. But on a drum, you're actually cooking about 24 inches above those hot coals the whole time. And so it produces that authentic flavor.
And it kind of seems like the best of both worlds to me, because I want to be able to smoke the pork shoulder and some of the bigger cuts of meat. And I know you can do it on a Weber, but it feels like kind of taking your big heavy hammer and using it, or big heavy screwdriver and using it as a hammer. I want to be able to still have those flavors, but also be able to cook those big kinds of meat. So it just felt like the natural next step for me.
Yeah, what you get with the drum is you get longer cook times.
Right.
You know, with the Weber, I mean, they have the same rack essentially. They're both a 22-inch rack.
Yep.
But the Weber, you're much more closer to the fire. So it wants to cook at higher temps. You're limited because if you put all your coals on one side or you snake them around, you don't have much cooking great surface because you don't want the meat over any of the live coals for those long cooks. Well, on a drum, you know, you put a chimney full of coals in the bottom and maybe a few fresh, and you're going to burn 12 to 14 hours at a low temp, like 250. And so you're thinking, you know, you can cook it puts you in a bit of to cook whole briskets, whole, you know, pork yeah. shoulder, pork butts, ribs, all the good stuff that you want to do those long, low and slow smokes on. You're not worried about the fire as much. The fire management on a drum is simple. As long as you have the vents checked back pretty much to about a quarter open intake and exhaust, and you keep the lid shut, it wants to run 250, 275. There's no guesswork to it. Now, where you go wrong is if you take the lid off and you step away, all of a sudden you've introduced all that oxygen into your fire, and man, I know you've seen the guys out probably at the Packers games with the burn barrel going. That's what you're going to have. It's going to be a raging fire.
Yeah, and like I said, I know you can do it on a Weber. I never got that down. I one time tried to do low and slow. Somebody was saying if you do like a half a chimney or whatever and do indirect, I could not get that. And I got a smaller Weber. It's the 18-inch or whatever, but I could not get that below 400 degrees. So I hot and fasted some ribs. It was still good, but that's obviously not ideal.
Hey, I know a guy's got some videos on how to run that Weber, so you check out that YouTube.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Actually, you know what? Before we launch into some of the better foods, why don't we go ahead and take a break right here? Again, please check out the Palmer Home for Children. We're trying to get up to 20,000, and I think we're going to be able to get there relatively quickly. Reach out to me. We can get that done. If you want to donate to me directly to help support the podcast, you can do so at patreon.com/pack_daddy. We'll take a break and we'll be right back.
We all have smartphones and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So US Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for 5. That's right. A company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones. And to see what we find, learn more at uscellular.com/builtforus.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, Malcolm. I want to talk about now. All right, so we've got our equipment laid out. Now we want to start hosting some parties. I just recently bought a house. I got my pellet grill, and I'm excited to get people over for the Packers games. So I want to kind of break this down into separate categories and kind of look at the proteins as well as some of the sides. But let's just say, let's start simple. Let's say you don't have any friends and nobody likes you and you don't have a family and you're just going to hang out by yourself and you're going to make yourself some delicious food for a football game. What are you probably going to make for yourself?
Man, I'm probably going to cook a pork butt, man.
Oh, yeah.
Because I can do so much with it. You know, right. It's going to feed me over the course of the whole game. I'm going to watch college ball on Saturday, cook that pork butt.
There you go.
And I'm going to have plenty left over to make nachos, to make sandwiches, whatever, egg rolls, whatever I want. It makes great tacos. I can freeze it. If it's just me, I'm going to eat all week on it. We're going to watch all the games on Sunday night, Monday night. And if we're late Thursday night, we can eat all week on that pork butt.
See, that's why you're smarter than me. I would have grilled a steak and then starved on Monday. All right, so I guess we'll just move. So let's say you've got, just for your family, right, you've got you, your wife, and your son, or let's say me and my family, or maybe it's just you and a couple buddies. What are you leaning toward?
Well, you know, and I know you probably sausages. We cook a ton of.
I think we lost him.
The bratwurst up there. I know. So you know, what do you have? Johnsonville, and what's the other big brand that's kind of the rival? I had a gentleman send me some. I wish I could. I can't think of the name of them, but they were awesome, awesome sausages. But I'm cooking a big pan of brats, man, for football. We'll always have, you know, brats and peppers and onions and all that good stuff, all the toppings to go with it.
Yeah, I actually
we do a lot of sausage and cheese plates.
Oh yeah, yeah. Actually, just last night I had some leftover brats, and granted, I hadn't eaten hardly all day, but I was sitting there thinking this has to be one of the most underrated foods out there. It was just regular Johnsonville brats, but man, those things are good, and they don't get nearly the amount of respect they deserve. So I love that you talk about that a lot, and it's so simple. It's one of the things you really just can't mess it up. It's not like chicken where if you overcook it by a little, you really messed up, or you know, you don't have to sit there and watch it like some of the other cuts of meat. Brats are so simple. You just throw them on the grill, and you know, you're not just warming them up, but you basically are, especially if you're maybe boiling them ahead of time in beer or whatever you're doing, and you can make a ton of them, and they're delicious. You can't miss with brats.
That's exactly. I mean, I start them out on a pellet grill in a shallow pan with some beer.
Yeah.
Kind of get the fat broke down in them, and then I'll move them over to the side and just let them kind of color up. You know, you don't worry about poking the skin. You don't lose all that juice. They get a little bit of the smoke flavor to them. And then I'll take that same pan, dump that beer out, and then put some butter and some onions and peppers in there and just kind of saute that down, put the brats back over in it as they color up, and then you're ready to go for game time.
All right, so let's up it a little bit. Let's say we're having a big party, and I know pork butt is going to be a pretty good answer, so I'm gonna remove that from your arsenal. But let's say we got a big gathering, the whole family and a bunch of friends are coming over, and you got a barbecue for them all. What's going to be your go-to?
We're probably gonna. I mean, I usually try to throw out three proteins.
Yeah.
Usually I stick with chicken, pork, and then some kind of beef. If I'm doing beef for a crowd, it's probably. I mean, brisket's time consuming. So, you know, that's kind of tough, but a lot of times I'll do tri-tips. And I don't know if you see tri-tips in Wisconsin. It's something that's kind of coming on here. You know, they're a West Coast thing, but now you're able to find them. And they are unbelievably cooked fast on a grill. It's like grilling a steak, just a little bit bigger, and they feed a lot of people.
Yeah.
I'm going pulled chicken.
Yeah. No, I don't see it very often, but to be fair, in Wisconsin, we don't see a lot of brisket either. So we get hamburger meat and you know, steaks, and that's about it. But I have seen a lot of videos on that, and I know it's extremely popular right now, the tri-tip. So if you can find it, and I'm sure you can go to a butcher or whatever, but in your local grocery store, if you can find it or whatever, I would definitely grab it. I did try it once, and it's pretty fantastic. All right, so, and I know brats are kind of the go-to answer here, but also what's something else that you would do if we're doing tailgate? So you're going out, and you're probably just bringing your Weber out or whatever. What are some great tailgate options?
Well, you know, I like to do sliders or things that you can, when I'm at a tailgate, usually I'm thinking I need something I can stand up, you know, hold it one hand, maybe have a beer in the other hand. So we'll do a lot of sliders, and it goes like, I can bring some pulled pork to the tailgate with me. I can bring some pulled chicken, and we take Hawaiian rolls or little slider buns, and we cut them in half. We'll warm those, you know, it's easy to warm that up at home, take a dry cooler and keep the meat warm. When you get to the tailgate, all you got to do is assemble it. So we'll make, you know, a couple different slaws or some different, you know, sauces to go with it. So everybody's got kind of finger food. Wings, man, you can't have a tailgate without having wings. That kind of goes hand in hand with the brats. So we do a lot of smoked wings. You know, I like tossing them in different sauces too. They're fine barbecue style, but you know, you can throw a wing sauce together, a couple of them together, and bring them out to the tailgate. And as the wings come off, toss them and give people a variety. little, I know, have you seen the meatballs I've done where I wrap them in bacon?
Oh, yeah. I just watched that a little bit ago.
It's like a fresh meatball wrapped in bacon, a little bit of barbecue rub on them, toothpick them. You can do that, put it on the pit. They're done in an hour. So, they're, you know, it's not like it's a hard cook time. Those are easy to do at a tailgate. And this is something that you guys may not do up there, but it's real big in the South, or at least Memphis, is barbecue bologna. If you've ever had, we call it Mississippi prime rib down here. It's cheap, feeds a lot of people, and there's a lot of people that say they don't eat bologna. But when you put – there's something about scoring that big chub of bologna, seasoning it with rub, putting it on the pit, glazing it with sauce, and then cutting it up, man, people go crazy over it.
Well, and it's one of those things, too, where I think if anybody up here has had bologna, myself included, it was when we were kids, we were forced to eat it, and it was Oscar Mayer bologna. So, you know, it's kind of the same with ham. You know, when I was younger, you just get, you know, ham sandwiches or whatever, and it's kind of mediocre. And somebody, I was a lot older the first time I had like a legit actual ham, and I was like, oh, why are you making ham? This is, but when you eat an actual ham that was grilled and it's got the glaze on it, it's like, I've never, what is this? This is not ham. I've never had this before. So, I'm a little hesitant to have bologna because, you know, bad experiences, but I do want to try it at some point. I might have to figure out where exactly you find a big chunk of bologna like that. But when I find it, I'm definitely going to try it out. All right, let's talk a couple sides. What are, you obviously got some cool options there, but to go with some of these proteins, with some of these little parties that we're throwing, we're back home in the backyard. What are a couple nice, easy sides that you can either do on the, maybe throw it also on the grill or just inside?
Well, you got to do beans, man. We call them barbecue beans or barbecue baked beans. I've got a recipe for an apple pie baked bean that's awesome. And it's, you know, it's one of those where it's loaded with meat. It starts with a pound of ground beef and a pound of breakfast sausage. Of course, it has vegetables in it, like peppers and onions and all the good stuff. Usually we'll start with like a base of Bush's baked, just a regular Bush's baked bean out of the can. And we soup it all up, but I take a couple cans of apple pie filling and kind of chop it all up to where it's a even consistency about the, you know, the size of the peppers and onions. And we mix that in there and add brown sugar and barbecue sauce, throw it on the pit, and you forget about beans on the pit. You just want to get them, you know, in about 250, 275, leave them uncovered so they get some smoke on them and let them sit there while everything else is cooking and just let it come together and reduce down. That's one of the easiest barbecue sides you can make.
Sure.
You probably, you know, We always serve like coleslaw, potato salad, the classics.
Yep.
You can doctor those up and go some different ways. You know, I've got one where I do a green apple coleslaw. That's something that's a little different, but you shred up some green apple on a box grater along with your cabbage, and it just gives it a little crispness and a little tartness. You know, there's a macaroni and cheese recipe that I do that people go crazy for. You don't think of cooking macaroni and cheese on a smoker or on a barbecue pit, but once you put it on there and you know and just let it comes together, the cheese melts, it's gooey, the top gets sticky and it's all buttery, and you put a little crumbly cracker crust on top, man, it's a fantastic macaroni and cheese. I stole that one from Rochelle.
She's the I heard she's got a real queen. Good mac and cheese recipe. All right, so another kind of uncommon question, but believe it or not, my wife is actually vegetarian. I'm trying to get her excited about, you know, the grilling and all that kind of stuff and be able to make some stuff for her. But I don't know. I have no idea what to do as far as a vegetarian and a grill. What would be some good non-meat options for some of my grills?
Oh, man. You know, I'm a carnivore through and through.
Give me one, you know, please.
I would do marinated vegetable kebabs.
Okay.
Because, you know, it takes in.
He's gone, hasn't he?
The portobello caps on the other, it really eats like a steak. You can cut it with a knife and fork, just like you're eating your ribeye, and it has a really, really great texture to it. So mushrooms are one thing that we do all the time. And, you know, zucchini, squash, the typical vegetables, roasted potatoes are awesome on the grill. You know, you could do that pulled pork and do the big double giant stuff, barbecue potato for yourself. And just make your wife a nice smoked potato on the grill and give her some of the cheese toppings and just omit the meat for her on that. That'd be something that'd be really great.
All right. I have done potatoes, but I'll venture into the vegetable where it's kind of a strange arrangement because I really don't eat vegetables and she doesn't eat meat. It actually works out nice because we go to the restaurant and we just give each other the other half of each other's plate, but I'm going to have to venture out and touch some of those funguses and whatnot, some of the cow food, and throw it on the grill. But I wanted to get excited about it so that I can get that third grill. Couple more questions here. Number one, you talked about, I heard you talk on your interview a couple days ago about the four main styles of barbecue. You know, you got the Memphis and whatnot. There's also supposedly sort of a Chicago style to doing barbecue. Do you know much about that?
I do not. You know, what I know about Chicago style barbecue is there's a lot of rib shacks.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the thing they did. They did ribs, but they do them totally different than the way we do low and slow. Most of them are kind of a char grilled rib.
Yeah.
Where they cook them over direct fire. And, you know, they're constantly grilling and flipping and mopping them and basting them. It's not, you know, they don't use a lot of, you know, traditional like barbecue rubs like we do in the South, or, you know, competition style stuff. The sauces, it's a little more on the thinner, less sweet, less tomatoey. It's just kind of a neutral. I've had someone send me a bottle of Chicago style barbecue sauce. It's just kind of a neutral flavor. But they're, you know, it's just the way they took ribs and learned to char grill them low and slow. That's, I mean, it's kind of, it's different because they're not smoked.
Right.
They don't use a lot of wood when they do it. It's mainly charcoal, but it's not bad. I've had them. It eats a little different than the way, you know, it's a little, it doesn't get as tender and as fall off the bone to me as you know, you think of when you want to sit down with a slab of ribs. It's a little different style.
Yeah, I actually grew up in Illinois, so I feel like that's what I understand as barbecue. So I'm kind of, you know, you go online and all you see is Southern style, and I feel like I need to get back to my roots a little bit and kind of figure out how it's done in the Midwest. And I know it's not as common, but I feel like that's the kind of stuff that I'm going to like. So I'm just trying to learn a little bit more. And again, it's not very well known or very popular, so it's kind of hard to get information on that. All right. Final question. Let's say I took your grills away from you and you couldn't do barbecue. What is your kind of go-to food, whether it's a kind of food or a style like Italian or Mexican or whatever, but you can't do barbecue for a month. What are you going to?
Man, you give me my big Cajun crawfish pot and a burner. We're fixing to throw down. It's gonna be boiling crawfish and fried fish and shrimp balls and making jambalayas and gumbos and all the stuff that goes with our friends down south of us in Louisiana. Mate, that's probably my go-to when I'm not doing barbecue. I'm still outside cooking, but usually I got a big pot boiling with something in it.
It may or may not surprise you, but I've never done that, and I've never even seen anyone do that. But I feel like I'm missing out, man. I hear about all these fun and just delicious sounding food down in the South. And it's one of my favorite things actually about when we go to Florida, we drive down there and I always want to stop at all the different restaurants and see different barbecue places and try the different food. I did a biscuits and gravy tour the one time, and I tried biscuits and gravy in every restaurant all the way down South, cause I don't ever get it up North, but I love that stuff. I kind of lied to you. I do have one final question. What is, and this is probably unfair and hard to figure out, but if you could take me to one barbecue restaurant somewhere down South, where would you take me?
Let's see. Man, that's a tough one. Just one. One barbecue joint. If I had to take you to show you what barbecue was to me, we would go to Jack's Creek. It's out not too far from Henderson, Tennessee. And it's, I mean, I guess that's the area, Jack's Creek out there where it is. But that's what, when I think of barbecue as a kid, it's out in the country in West Tennessee. And my dad would, that's where his family was from. They would go out there and they'd get barbecue and they bring it. They only cook like, they start cooking on Friday and they cook hogs. And when the hogs are done on Saturday, they chop them up however you want them. If you want it pulled, if you want it crunchy, if you want it chopped, if you want some ham mixed with some loin, whatever you want, the belly meat. That you order it just like that off a pit. There's a guy standing there with a big cutting board, pulling it off the hog, chopping it. And once you've tried that style of barbecue, that's what I've always been after, you know, trying to take and build and make perfect barbecue like they do there. It's old school too, man, but it's a cool joint.
Well, I really do appreciate it. I know you're very, very busy and you got a lot going on. I appreciate you taking the time to talk to a couple Packer fans about some food. I hope we can do a lot of good to help you out with the Palmer home. I'm looking forward to being able to raise a bunch more money. How long are you running that for?
We're going to take it all the way to Labor Day.
Okay, that's what I thought.
And I think we're like over 17, so we're getting close to our goal. It's been really great. We really appreciate the help and the support and helping us get the awareness out for these guys. And the kids at the Palmer home really appreciate it too.
Yeah, you can check out Malcolm YouTube, TikTok, Twitter, Instagram at How to Barbecue Right. You were smart enough to use the same thing for all yours. I have to tell people all my different names at all my different But nobody follows me anyway, so it doesn't matter. But again, I appreciate you taking the time, and you have yourself a great weekend.
Thanks, man. It was a pleasure. And if you get down to the Saints game when they're playing the Pack, man, get some of that good New Orleans food.
That's exactly what I'll do. You take care.
All right. Have a good one.
All right. Bye.